Give us this day our daily bread. The fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer seems a bit primitive and out of date. Modern man is no longer concerned about his daily bread. The basic sustenance of life is easy to acquire in our culture. Daily bread is as close as the refrigerator. Daily bread is as convenient as a short drive to the local fast food restaurant. Daily bread is as abundant and easy to come by as the air we breathe or the water we drink. One need only turn on the faucet or open the kitchen cupboard and be well satisfied. Thus, the fourth petition seems a little out of touch with modern civilization. Why should I pray for what I already have? Why should I ask God for what I can easily acquire for myself? Indeed, the fourth petition seems to ask for too little. We need cars and computers and books and more books and bigger houses to house the books. And in comparison with such needs, daily bread seems a bit modest. Luther himself seems to recognize this in his explanation of the fourth petition. Daily bread is interpreted by him somewhat metaphorically to now refer to all that I need to support this body and life. However, it is worth recognizing that for the early Christians, this petition is prayed with more desperation. The cry for daily bread proceeds from those in the desert when the hour is late. It is the plea of those in the peril of death, of those wandering in the wilderness, of those at the mercy of a lifeless environment. As the psalmist cries out, "My soul thirsts for thee, my flesh faints for thee, as in a dry and weary land where no water is." The fourth petition was first prayed by a church in which the chief conflict was not between knowledge and ignorance, but between life and death. It was first prayed by a martyr church which lived at the mercy of her enemies. Give us this day our daily bread. This petition was not originally a prayer of those for those things that might simply aid the body in its temporal existence and its quest for prosperity, but rather a desperate plea for that which was most fundamental to our flesh and its survival against all the powers of death. And it is this perspective that led the early Christians to interpret the fourth petition with reference to Christ and his flesh and blood. As Tertullian writes in explanation of the fourth petition, "For Christ is our bread, because Christ is life, and bread is life." For these early Christians, the presence of Christ was more fundamental to their fleshly existence than food or drink, clothing and shoes, house and home. For in the flesh and blood of Jesus, the church found a daily bread that gives life that overcomes death. They found a living bread that sustains man even when there is no food. In Christ's flesh, they found a life that could endure the desert, a life that could not be destroyed by desperate circumstances, a life that no enemy could threaten, no persecutor could take away. Give us this day our daily bread. This desperate cry is at the heart, I believe, of our text for this day. They, after feeding of the 5,000, the people now naturally seek out Jesus. And when Jesus warns them not to labor for food that perishes, he begins teaching the crowd about the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. In response, the people pray what sounds a lot like the fourth petition. "Lord, give us this bread always. Give us today our daily bread. Give us today the bread you provided yesterday. Give us today the bread that will free us from the desert, free us from labor, free us from the peril of death." This petition is true, and it is fervent, and it is desperate. But Jesus' answer does not meet expectations. And so it is in the Gospel of John. Jesus often fails to meet expectations. At the wedding of Cana, the good wine is expected to be given first, but Jesus gives it last. Nicodemus comes to Jesus expecting to receive knowledge and understanding, but Jesus only gives him the confusion of a mystery. Mary and Martha expect Jesus to come and heal their brother Lazarus, but Jesus delays and seems to come too late. And now here in John 6, the people ask for daily bread, and Jesus replies, "I am the bread of life." Jesus now offers himself in the place of Moses. He offers his own flesh in the place of bread. He offers his own life in the place of their bodily existence. In other words, the people make their petition in the expectation of a feast, but Jesus calls them to fast. They expect to eat, but Jesus calls them to believe. They hope for the satisfaction of paradise, but they are left hungry in the desert. They hope for understanding, and Jesus gives them a hard saying. These people will not believe without bread, but Jesus will not give the living bread of his flesh to those who refuse to believe. Thus Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." The feast belongs to the faithful, to those drawn to Christ by the Father. Indeed, this is now the purpose of John's gospel. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing you may have life in his name. And according to the evangelist St. John, to believe does not consist in the ability to rejoice in a feast, but rather in a willingness to endure the fast. Faith is Nicodemus remaining with Jesus in spite of his confusion. It is the Samaritan woman remaining with Jesus even when her sins are exposed. It is Mary and Martha confessing Jesus even when he seems to arrive too late. It is his disciples abiding with Christ now, even when he leaves them hungry in the desert. Give us this day our daily bread. What expectations, dear friends, fill our minds when this petition proceeds from our lips? Do we think that he should give us life when we are unwilling to endure death? And must he show mercy when we refuse to be merciful to others? And should he give us a place in paradise when we will not abide with him in the desert? No, dear friends, as Lent is now upon us, let us look forward to the feast, but let us also be willing to fast. For fasting is not the rejection of the feast, but true preparation for the feast. It is the hungry who truly rejoice in the heavenly banquet. It is the repentant who grasp the significance of forgiveness. It is the dying who long for the resurrection. And so Christ is our daily bread. And the faith that lives in us now finds in Christ a life that overcomes death, a bread that can sustain us even when there is no food, a drink that satisfies even when we find ourselves in the desert. And the hour is late. To Christ our Lord be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.